Welcome to Christ Central Church. My name is Joe Crummy. I'm going to be speaking this morning, and so great to have you with you, and greetings to those who are joining us online as well. And has already been stated, just a big thank you to everyone who helped take part in our church weekend, and many were serving before, during, and after, and so a big thank you to all those who helped in so many different ways, and a big week also for all of our graduates, so from elementary school, middle school, high school, congratulations on a very special week, and so we just want to cheer you on in that. And a big week, as we said, that we, Mark and Debbie and their family and the Rosales family moved to Dartmouth this week, and the first of many who are going to be moving there to be part of our church plant. And so a bit bittersweet this week as we are just so encouraged for them going, but also already missing them and feeling a bit of that void. So it's okay to feel both ends of that spectrum. Well, on the weekend, we finished our series from the book of Joshua, and so it's exciting that we get to start a new summer series, and so we've entitled it Summer in the Psalms, and so we have 11 weeks from now till the beginning of September that we're going to go through the Psalms, and the Psalms are written in the Old Testament through various authors inspired by the Holy Spirit, and we can learn so much from them because the Psalms are so honest, and one of the things, there's so much emotion and truth, and they point forward, there's some prophetic things in there, and I mean, just encourage you, an easy one, if you're like, you have nowhere to, don't know maybe where to start in the Bible, you can just pick a psalm, like, every day. You can fit that into your schedule, and you can even do, like, hey, it's June 23rd, why don't you pick Psalm 23? You can do that sort of thing. So there's easy things to pick up, but there's a lot in there, and today, I'm going to start us off. So we're not going to go sort of in chronological order because there's 150 psalms, so we will not do 150 weeks on the psalms, but we're going to pick some different ones and some different themes, and I'm going to start today with Psalm 16, and you have to remember the psalms were written, mostly they were sung, and so you might have in your Bible a little thing at the beginning of each psalm that might say a little note, and it might say a musical or literary term, because they meant to be sung. I am not going to sing Psalm 16 to you today. I will spare you. I will leave Angela with all the singing. Most of my singing has to do with 80 songs, and that's about it. So I'm going to keep it right there. But as we start, here's a question for you, and I've got my, this will make sense, because I've brought my prop with me. And so as my kids get older, it's harder and harder to find props that are appropriate. And I had to go in the archives for this one. So this is the Hello Kitty airplane. And so I'm just going to set that there. And that's going to factor in at some point. You might be wondering. I will factor it in. So first of all, just to raise a hand, how many people have actually flown on an airplane before? Okay. Wow, that's a lot of people. So here's the next question. How many people have actually, like, been the pilot and flown an airplane? I got the like, oh my soul. We actually have people who have, Dave and Keith, is that for real? Are you? That is very cool. Betty, do I see a hand over there? Right on. That's awesome. I didn't know if we would have anybody in the house. Emily too. Goodness me. Look, if we ever travel, I want to travel with you guys, because if anything ever happens to the pilot, I want to be with you. Can I just say that? Okay, we'll come back to that, but this is that's an important piece that we're going to come to. So, Psalm 16, it's going to be up on the screen. If you're able, let's read this together. So this is written by David many, 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 many years ago, but very powerful. So, if you're able, let's walk this through and we'll read it together. Keep me safe, my God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing. I say of the holy people who are in the land, they are the noble ones in whom is all my delight. Those who run after other gods will suffer more and more. I will not pour out libations of blood to such gods or take up their names on my lips. Lord, you alone are my portion and my cup. You make my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. I keep keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure, because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, nor will you let your faithful one see decay. You make known to me the path of life. You fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. So, a powerful psalm, one of my favorite ones, and I just think, for me personally, that key verse comes from verse 8, when David says this, I keep my eyes always on the Lord. And there's something about David just being single-minded in that statement, and I'm hoping, as we go through the summer, and as we go through the Psalms, they're going to help us keep us single-minded and focused on God. So, I really feel for our Green Hill Lake crew camp, I mean, this is for all, but specifically for you, I think this is a great message as you head into the summer, to keep single-minded on Jesus. And so we're going to walk through what are some ways. That's an easy thing to say, isn't it? I'm going to say, eyes fixed on Jesus, single-minded. But what are some ways that can help us remain single-minded, to remain focused on Jesus? We're going to talk about four different things here this morning. So the first one is this, declaring. And Angela's been so helpful already in worship with this one. Declaring. There's something powerful about declaring truth about who God is, about what God's done, what God's going to do. Whether it's both speaking, so we read God's word, we can speak out truth, and in singing. There's something powerful. The way God's made us, God's a singing God. God's a worshiping God. God, there's something about music that helps us even remember the words. Sometimes, many times, you might walk out of here, you might not remember exactly the message, you might not remember, but whether you know or not, you can be memorizing the lyrics to the songs just because they're put to music and there's something powerful in them. And that's why we want to choose our music wisely, because there's power in us declaring and speaking and singing. There's something powerful when David's saying, I say to the Lord, he's making a decision, you are my Lord. That's a powerful statement. Angela's just saying it in worship, like there's power when we speak the name of Jesus. It's declaring truth. And that's one of the things that's so great about God giving us a voice, that we're able to speak out and declare. And what it does, sometimes it just helps with a reset. I don't know about you, but I find every Sunday morning is a bit of a reset in a good way. Despite, I mean, I'm trying to be in the Word, I'm trying in the week, and I am, it's good. And we come, but there's something about worshiping God together, hearing God's Word preached, hearing contributions and spiritual gifts. That's a bit like a reset. It's like we're declaring truth together. It's amazing. And we say it before, like so many times you come in, you're just like, and then in worship, you're like, I'm declaring truth. Have my circumstances changed at all? No! But I'm declaring, I'm singing, I'm speaking. God, you're reminding me. I get so distracted. I forget during the week sometimes who you are, what you're about, your purposes, your plan. And it's like a reset button every time. I'm declaring truth. And all of a sudden, my emotions and my will all line up under God as I declare and speak out truth. That's why it's so important. And I know there's times, and please, it's not heavy, but can I just encourage you? There is something about speaking that is powerful. So even if it's a whisper starting out with, and by all means, sometimes I'm in worship, I don't have to say a word, I'm just quiet, I know that God's God, that's all legit as well. But at some point, speaking and declaring truth. David's saying, I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. Like, there's something powerful with that. Declaring also is affected by the company we keep. David says this, those who we hang out with affect us. And so David's saying, hey, my delight's in those who love God, the people of God. That's my delight. That's who I want to hang out with. There's something powerful about being with some people who are going to speak truth around you and into you. That's why it's so encouraging to come together as a local church. Whether it's large group, small group, two or three people, you know that you're going to be encouraged, because people are going to speak truth. They're going to remind you of who God is. They're going to remind you of God's purposes, God's promises. They're going to remind you of God's character and attributes. They're going to remind you of prophetic words that have been spoken over your life. They're going to declare and speak truth and sing over you powerful things. They're going to encourage you. The company we keep is really important. Now, please hear me. Jesus modeled, Jesus was with everybody, and Jesus came to seek and save the lost. So I'm not saying you just stay in a holy huddle with only Christians. That's not what I'm saying. What I am saying, as much as Jesus was amongst sinners and tax collectors and everything else, Jesus had 12. Jesus had 3. Jesus had 1. Jesus met with God alone. And he had 12 disciples. He had 3. He spent some more time. He had John. He had some people around him that could speak encouragement and life into him. Folks, you can't do it on your own. We need some people around us who are going to speak truth and life and declare God together, who God is. David said this, he refused to speak ungodly words. So there's this whole thing of we have to be careful, like we want to, in a positive way, speak truth. We also don't want to say some words. And David's saying, there are some ungodly things that David's like, I'm not even going to have them on my lips. And folks, James talks about the power of our words, right? It's like a little rudder on a ship can affect a big boat. He's saying we have power to praise God, we have power to curse. We have power to speak life, we have power to speak death. That's how God created us. Folks, just be careful, folks, that as we want to declare truth, and we can speak the truth in love, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying there's some ungodly things. We can curse. We can speak bitter words. We can speak words out of anger that can bring damage. James saying, I'm not even going to have those things on my lips. And that follows into David saying, I'm not even going to, like those who follow other gods, folks, David says that it's just going to lead to a heap of trouble. You might not see it on planet Earth, but in the life to come. And David's saying, I'm not even going to speak some of these other little g gods on my lips. And there's a whole thing, folks, of following Jesus that we renounce other things. And can I just encourage you this morning that there's doors we can open up, things like the occult. Occult means hidden things, so we get into things that there's a real spiritual power, demonic power behind occultic things. And David's saying, hey, these things are powerful. They might be little g, they're not big g God, but they still have power. And David's saying, we don't even want these things on our lips. And sometimes we need to renounce. Renouncing is this, I disassociate with, I forsake, I might have been involved with before, but I discontinue. So we married Shane and Jess just a couple weeks ago, and as part of their vows, they're saying this, forsaking all others, I'm choosing you. And that's what we're doing when we confess Jesus as our Lord and Savior. We might have followed other things, we might have been involved in other things, but when we come to Jesus, we're saying we renounce those things. And folks, many of you, we've led prayers specifically, sometimes we've opened the door, and we can't quite figure out why something seems to be affecting us. You know, we pray, we read God's word, and sometimes we're just like, something's not right. And as we pastorally kind of take an inventory, sometimes we find out, oh, I was involved with Ouija boards. Oh, I was involved in this. Oh. And we realize, you know what? You might have opened yourself up to something that's not healthy. And what do? We say, we actually pray. We say, I renounce my involvement with the Ouija board. And I shut that door in Jesus' name. We declare it. We confess with our mouth Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We also declare and renounce things that we might have been involved with that are ungodly. And you might have not even known it at the time. Satan is a terrorist. Satan doesn't play by the rules. He doesn't say, oh, you're a little kid, you're just innocent, you're just... No, you said it. I'm in. And we need the Holy Spirit sometimes to bring revelation and say, hey, we don't have to be afraid. We repent of things, we turn from things, but we renounce. We shut the door on things. And that's part of declaring. There's a positive declaring, Jesus, Lord and Savior, I'm declaring truth. But we have to be careful of not declaring negative, ungodly things. And we have the power through Jesus Christ to be able to say, I renounce, I disassociate, I withdraw from, I discontinue, I forsake what I was involved in before, and now I'm devoted to Jesus. It's a powerful thing in pastoral care that we make sure we cover that. How do we keep single-minded? How do we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus? One way is this: we are declaring truth, and we're declaring some of the things that we're not involved with. And David leads us in a great pattern with that. Single-minded, declaring. This is part B, really. I made it point two, but it could have went into thanking. What's one way we keep single-minded? We are thankful people. There's so many examples all through the Bible of being thankful to God. It's something that's very powerful. It's like an overflow of the heart. When we really stop and think of, in the midst of even difficult circumstances, we can find things to be thankful for. So it's out of the overflow of our heart, but it's also a discipline. It's just, hey, give thanks in every circumstance, for this is the will of God. It's not a flippant thing. It's like, God, I'm thanking you. You've given me life today. You've given me Jesus. You've given me salvation. You've given me a hope and a future. You've given me a church family. There's so many things. Put a roof over my head. You've given me food today. Single-minded, being thankful. David said, the boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. David's realizing the hand of God upon his life, and he's thankful. He's thankful. Folks, you got to remember, we don't have time, but remember the life of David? Like, he went through a lot. It wasn't an easy life. Remember, he was forgotten kind of by his dad and his brother. Samuel came to pick the next king, and they didn't even have David in the lineup. And Samuel's like, God, everyone's here. Surely it's one of these. And God's like, no. And Samuel's like, to Jesse, like, is there anyone else? Oh, yeah, my youngest son's out in the field. David, remember, he went to the army with Goliath, and he's like, he's mad at Goliath. Like, who's defying God's army? And everyone's like, David, be quiet. You're too young. You're just like, you're a weakling. Like, shut up. David, anointed. He knows he's going to be king. And what happens? He's on the run. Saul wants to kill him. He's living in caves. Like, David's been through a lot. And David is able to say, God, I'm so thankful your hand's been upon my life, even through difficult things. There's a thanksgiving that comes. There's an understanding that David, his security and his identity is found in God. So incredible. David realizes, Lord, you alone are my portion and my cup. You make my lot secure. Despite all those things going on, David knew, God, you're with me. Your hand's upon me. I'm secure in you. So that's something to be thankful for. If you're a follower of Jesus, there's so much to be thankful for. You realize we're secure. Gary's just hearing it. North, do you realize God's saying to you this morning, he truly loves you and my love does not run out? So, what's great security? My identity is found in God. Folks, hopefully you can finish the sentence now. My identity is received and not achieved. We talk about this a lot. In our culture that we live in, with social media and everything, and the world, the way it impacts us, we're saying we have to achieve our identity. We have to put up a good face. We have to present ourselves to the world in order to get the likes and the love, to be able to feel secure. And God's an upside-down kingdom. He says, no. Your security and your identity I give to you in Christ. But folks, as a follower of Jesus, our identity is in Christ. We receive it as a gift. We don't have to achieve anything. Folks, do you know how freeing that is? It takes the pressure off. Now, no wonder our generation, like right now, is anxious and stressed and dealing with it because the pressure is on. I have to achieve my identity. I have to create my identity. I have to find something within. And Christianity is saying, I mess up. Even if no one likes me. Even if people make fun of me. My identity is secure. And God, I thank you for that. David is secure and he was thankful for it. David knew that he was going to receive an inheritance. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. Folks, this is quite revolutionary for David to say this Old Testament, because their view of afterlife and eternal life and resurrection and all that, it wasn't as established as ours is. We're living in the good of Jesus being resurrected. They had a bit more of a murky view of, and yet David had a glimpse, I've got an inheritance coming. David had received promises from God. On your throne, in your lineage, will be a king forever. Amazing promises. David was able to see beyond just the here and now. He knew an inheritance was coming and he was thankful. David was thankful because he received counsel. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Folks, isn't it good to know that how many feel just bombarded by decision making? Is it just me? Like, everyone's like, hands up. And folks, every minute we have decisions to make. Big ones, small ones, and it's you get weary, don't you? You just get weary. Anytime Angela and I can get vacation, one of the biggest things we say is, you don't even realize it, but you just realize, hopefully for a day or two, and even then you have to make decisions on vacation. But it seems like, oh, the pressure of just the bombardment of decision making is gone for a few days, and you don't realize how that drains you. But David's saying, God, I'm so thankful you counsel me. You give me wisdom. Book of James says, if you're lacking wisdom, you can ask God. And if you believe, God's going to give you wisdom. Folks, it's so good that we can turn to God. We can receive counsel from God. David sees the saying, even on my bed at night, my heart counsels me, God, you're speaking. And folks, we say it all the time, but I haven't found a better way of describing it. And we learn it on Alpha, that God speaks through five different ways. They all begin with a C and an S, and I hope you can repeat it again. But here's how God brings counsel. So let's look at it. Commanding Scripture, compelling Spirit, His Holy Spirit, counsel of the saints, common sense, and circumstantial signs. Now, it was interesting, for those of you who are at the church weekend, okay, Gabby and Santiago shared their story of what hearing from God to go to Dartmouth. Ian and his pastor shared their story. And I was counting, because I'm a bit weird and I do this. You probably weren't. I was counting, and I was lining up under those five categories how God spoke. And I think maybe Ian referenced it. Commanding Scripture. Folks, God speaks through His Word. He gives us wisdom from His Word. Compelling Spirit. God speaks. His Holy Spirit speaks. He leads us and guides us. We want to be a Spirit-led people. God speaks through common sense. Like there's nuts and bolts of things and administrative things that God speaks through that. The circumstantial signs, there's some supernatural signs sometimes that you just know God has spoken. Which one did I leave out? Counsel of the saints. Thank you. Making sure you're paying attention. Folks, we get to come to other believers and say, I need to make an important decision. Can I just run this by you? Can you be a sounding board? Can you help me? And a lot of times, folks, God speaks through other believers in our decision-making process. And we need all five working together. And sometimes, one of those five is a little bit higher than the rest. Sometimes God's saying something that by faith kind of outweighs the common sense. And sometimes the common sense outweighs maybe a prophetic word when you take them all together. And of course, anything comes against commanding Scripture, we know commanding Scripture overrides other things. But God, folks, it's so encouraging. God counsels us. And David was thankful in that counsel. So folks, how do we keep single-minded on God even this summer, even at camp? One way is we just keep declaring truth.
we keep a thankful heart. We just keep thanking God in the midst of our circumstances. Third thing is this, and this is the key verse for me. David said this, I keep my eyes always on the Lord. So there's this whole part of seeing, and this is a daily decision. And this is what, I got one more thing. Can anyone see what those are? Jarrett, you should be able to see what those are. Jarrett's like, those are mine. Those are Jarrett's contact lenses. And every day, Jarrett makes a decision to put these in order so that he can see. Folks, it's a daily decision. He has a choice every morning. And on Saturday, maybe, and by afternoon. Anyways, a daily choice to say, I'm going to put these in so that I can see more clearly. And folks, every day we have a choice to fix our eyes on Jesus, to see more clearly. And we have the Holy Spirit helping us. We have one another, all these different things. But folks, it's still a daily choice. It's a daily decision. And we're focused on Jesus. It's on a person. We fix our eyes. The author of Hebrews says the same thing. Fix your eyes on Jesus. So it's not just fixing it on a good luck charm or on a positive motto. We're fixing our eyes on a person, Jesus Christ. It's consistent. I love how David says this. I keep my eyes always on the Lord. What does always mean? Always. In every situation. Always start at the meeting saying, look, you know, we're worshiping God. God's with us. Whether we're sick, in the hospital, whether we're rejoicing. Like, I'm keeping my eyes fixed on Jesus always, in every circumstance. David said, with him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Okay, so here's my story about an airplane, okay? So this is an airplane. Now, several years ago, I've got a picture coming up. I just had to throw that in there. Isn't that the cutest picture? Do you recognize those beautiful kids? We've got a Noah. We've got a Jared, a Micah, and an Anna in there. I always ask for their forgiveness and not their permission when I do these things. I just had to throw that in there. Next slide. So, several years ago, that's our friend Martin. And so if you're at the church weekend, we had an update from Martin and Ann Tubasing, who are serving in Southeast Asia, and Martin's a pilot. And I had the joy and somewhat scary privilege of flying with Martin. And so we were in this two-seater. And that's how close we were in the two-seater airplane. And so Martin took me up one afternoon. And you go to the next slide. That's the closest one I got to 140 Clark. I don't know if you can tell where we are in there, but there's Devon Lumber a little bit down to the left and York Arena. And that's back when the construction company, that's a whole new area now. But you see the walking bridge, and we almost got 140 Clark. Even though I did not know we were going to have 140 Clark 14 years ago. But I gave you, and so we flew all over the city, and we flew all the way out to Massapequa and over Gail and Will's house, and we had a really enjoyable time on a beautiful, sunny day. And guess what? For the first hour, I did really well. And you got to remember, like, Martin is right here, and the glass goes, like, right here to, like, here. So, like, you're in there. And for the first hour, I did really well. And I was so proud because I was a little nervous going up. And Martin said before, he showed me a video before, and he's like, we can do these things, and you can, like, dive bomb, and you can do rolls and everything. And he's like, he's got it on video, and he's like, which part do you want to do? None. So we skipped all that part. And about an hour in, and I was doing it earlier, Martin said, do you want to fly this plane? And I'm like, yes, I want to fly this plane. Did I mention I was doing really well? So So when you take over the controls, you have both the handheld, but then you're using your feet. So it's a weird thing, because you're using your feet to help balance you. So it's not just with your hands, it's with your feet. And so I was doing really well, and I'm like, I got this. Like, we were flying along, and so it is pretty cool. I mean, it is pretty cool. It's scary, but it is pretty cool. And I was doing really well, and I'm like, I got this. And I'm like, why do you have to go all these years of training for flight school? Like, I'm a quick learner. Like, I'm getting this in like 30 seconds. I'm like, I'm above average right now, okay? I was doing so well. And a few minutes in, all of a sudden, this is what happened. I kid you not. I thought I was free falling. And my body reacted. And I felt like, if you feel like you're falling, what do? You put out. So literally, I'm flying along. I'm doing great. We're talking in a headset. I'm feeling pretty good about myself. And then all of a sudden, my body reacted. And my hands hit the glass as if I was falling. And I literally was like, I thought I was falling, and I grabbed on to prevent myself from falling. And my stomach did all these weird things, and all of a sudden I was in confusion and panic, and my body was telling me that I was like out of balance. And it happened that quick. And I'm like, Martin, you better take over. He's like, I took over 10 seconds ago. No. And then we kind of got better, and we continued on, and I could not figure out what happened. Because then I was fine the rest of the time, and I couldn't figure out. And it wasn't until we landed. So we came all the way back and out to our muscle, and we landed, and I was trying to figure out what had happened. And then I clued in after I landed what had happened. Do you know what happened? And I told us at Donna's funeral. No answers from one row right there. This is what I realized. The whole way along, I could see the horizon. And in my inexperience, after a few minutes of flying, the nose went up just a little bit, and all of a sudden, I couldn't see the horizon. And when I couldn't see the horizon, my body went into panic mode, and I thought I was. And then, without me knowing, Martin just steadied, and I could see the horizon again, and I was completely fine. And friends, God spoke to me through that experience. And keep our eyes on Jesus. But as soon as we get distracted, other things come. Sometimes we don't even realize we've taken our eyes off. Can I just encourage you today to learn from my lesson about being single-minded? Hope it can happen that fast. It can happen that quick. And sometimes we don't even know why it happens. And I just encourage you, we want to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. Folks, this is for us individually, but this is for us as a church as well. And can I just end with this? Declaring, whether we remain single-minded, we're declaring, we're thankful, we're thanking, we're seeing, we're keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus, and then we're doing this, we're hoping. Folks, David had an incredible, and I don't know if God, must have been God's revelation, again, for Old Testament, David had an incredible vocabulary for describing resurrection hope. It's amazing. He says, keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad. My tongue rejoices. He's worshiping. He says this, my body also will rest secure, because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, nor will you let your faithful one see decay. You make known to me the path of life. You fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasure at your right hand. Folks, that's an amazing prophetic picture of resurrection. In an era where that wasn't very clear. So much so, whether in the line of David, David's pointing, who's David pointing to? pointing to Jesus. Folks, we have the advantage of seeing this. Acts 2, the Spirit is poured out after Jesus' resurrection and ascension to heaven. The Spirit's poured out, and as part of Peter preaching to the 3,000 about what has just happened, he includes this. He quotes Psalm 16, what we just read. And he says this in Acts 2. Fellow Israelites, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day. But he was a prophet and knew that God had promised him on oath that he would place one of his descendants on the throne. Seeing what was to come, he spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah, that he was not abandoned to the realm of the dead, nor did his body see decay. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of it. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit, and has poured out what you now see and hear. Folks, that's pretty incredible. Of all the Psalms, here's Peter preaching, and he quotes Psalm 16. Saint David saw what was coming. Out of his line and lineage, Jesus was coming, Son of David. And Jesus dying on the cross for our sin, to break the power of death, to break the power of sin, to break the power of Satan, knew that God was not going to abandon him. His body was not going to see decay. He was not going to be left to the realm of the dead. That God was going to raise him from the dead. That there was going to be great joy. That there was going to be eternal pleasures at God's right hand. Folks, that's an incredible statement. Acts 13, 35, Paul quotes the same thing. He's preaching about Jesus. He says this, Acts 13, 35 to 38. So it is also stated elsewhere, you will not let your Holy One, your faithful one, see decay. Quoting Psalm 16. Now when David had served God's purpose in his own generation, he fell asleep, he died. He was buried with his ancestors and his body decayed. But the one whom God raised from the dead did not see decay. Therefore, my friends, I want you to know that through Jesus, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. David, pointing, single-minded, he knew, hoping that one day, the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, the Son of David, would die on the cross, but that God would raise him from the dead. Hallelujah. There's this joy. You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence. Folks, that's what we talk about, the presence of God, the manifest presence of God. There's joy in God's presence. And David had a view of eternity with eternal pleasures at your right hand. Folks, this summer, as we go through the series, we're praying that God will keep us single-minded on Jesus, that we will fix our eyes on Jesus. For those of you at camp this summer, you're going to be facing challenges, everything. I'm encouraging you, keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. You need to remind yourself. How do we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus? Well, we need to be declaring truth. We need to be thankful. We need to be seeing and making those daily decisions to see Jesus. We need to be hoping that what we're doing is not in vain. God has an eternal purpose. Folks, that goes for every single one of us. And my challenge to you today is this. What are maybe two or three things God might be asking or wanting you to do this summer to keep you single-minded on Jesus? We want to be able to say as David, I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. All right, if you're able, let's stand. I'll ask the worship team to come. I just want to pray into this, and then we're going to sing a song that helps us declare this truth. We can make, with God's help, this decision. And God's going to help us. God's going to enable us to live it out. So, Father in heaven, once again, we thank you today. We thank you for your written word that speaks to us and guides us. It's living and active. We thank you, Jesus, that you are alive, that you're at the right hand of your Father. You're praying for us. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're here. You're the one who reveals Jesus. You enable us. You empower us. You help us that we're not left as orphans. You're with us. And I pray for us here and for all those listening online that Jesus, this summer, you would help lift our heads. That you would help us to keep our eyes fixed on you. that, God, we would not be distracted, Lord, that you wouldn't be hidden in any way, but, Jesus, that we would keep our eyes on the horizon looking at you, that, God, you would come, and that your kingdom would come, and your will would be done in our lives, individually and together as a church, Lord, we pray.